Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 18, perfection of renunciation, text number 8. Is that what's on the board? Dukam ityeva yat karma. Kaya klesha bayat yajat. Sakritva rajasam tyagam. Naiva tyaga palam labhet. To come unhappy, iti, thus, eva, certainly, yet, which, karma, work, kaya, for the body, klesha, trouble, bayat, out of fear, tyajat, gives up. Saha, he. Kritva, after doing. Rajasam, in the mode of passion. Tyagam, renunciation. Na, not. Eva, certainly. Tyaga, of renunciation. Alam, the results. Levet, gains. Translation of Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Anyone who gives up prescribed duties is troublesome or out of fear of bodily discomfort is said to have renounced in the mode of passion. Such action never leads to the elevation of renunciation. Purport. One who is in Krishna consciousness should not give up earning money out of fear that he is performing fruitive activities. If by working, one can engage his money in Krishna consciousness, or if by rising early in the morning, he can advance his transcendental Krishna consciousness, one should not desist out of fear or because such activities are considered troublesome. Such renunciation is in the mode of passion. The result of passionate work is always miserable. If a person renounces work in that spirit, he never gets the result of renunciation. The next text. Karyam ityeva yakarma niyatam kriyatejana sangam tyakvapalam chaiva satyaga satvikomataha. Arjuna, one who performs his prescribed duty only because it ought to be done, and renounces all material association and all attachment to the fruit, his renunciation is said to be in the mode of goodness. Prescribed duties must be performed with this mentality. One should act without attachment for the results. He should be disassociated from the modes of work. A man working in Krishna consciousness in a factory does not associate himself with the work of the factory, nor the workers of the factory. He simply works for Krishna. Then he gives up the result for Krishna. He is acting transcendentally. This is something Krishna said throughout the whole Bhagavad Gita, repeatedly, that one should work in a transcendental consciousness. But that transcendental consciousness also implies practical work also. Or as Krishna had said in the third chapter, Gata Sangasya Muktasya, no, this fourth chapter. Gata Sangasya Muktasya, Gyanavasthit Chetasaha, Ijatrata Karma, Samagram Paviliate. The work of a man who is unattached to the modes of material nature and who is situated in transcendental knowledge merges entirely into transcendence. Brahmarpanam Brahmahayavir, Brahmagno Brahmahutam, Brahmayavatena Gantavyam, Brahma Karma Samadhina. Person is sure to attain to the spiritual world or spiritual consciousness because of his full contribution to spiritual activities in which the result is absolute and the things which are offered is of the same spiritual nature. In other words, whatever we do has some consciousness behind it. What's that?
A little too fast.
Whatever we do. Whatever we do has consciousness behind it.
Yes.
So gata sangasya muktasya. What we're trying to become liberated is from our material concept of life. The fact is that we're spiritual beings, and that's what we feel like, spiritual beings. We feel like spiritual beings in a material body, because we're alive, and we're conscious, and we have intelligence, but we're in a world where everything is not alive, not conscious, and doesn't have intelligence. But still, if we renounce the consciousness that I'm actually the doer, and that the results of the work, because there's always some result, they belong to me, because I was the one who was doing it. But if we accept the philosophy that actually I'm the soul, and I'm not the only doer, I'm one of the doers. It's not that we're not doing anything, but we're not doing what we think we're doing. For instance, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, in the same 18th chapter, adishtanam tatha karta karnam cha prithag vidan vividas cha prithag chesta daivam adishtanam tatha karta karnam cha prithag vidan vividas cha preta daivam chaivatma cha panchamam. Adishtana means the body. So certainly we're in a body. Everyone has a body that I can see. Adishtana, tata, karta. And then there's the karta. Who's the karta? Who's the doer? Anyone know who the doer is? What's that? Well, in this particular verse, it's the karta is the living entity. Now, Krishna had said previously, and Krishna is also a doer, we'll give him some credit too. Previously, Krishna had said that, what did he say? It's one of the most famous verses, but I just forgot it. Where is it? That the living entity. Prakriti Gurna, that's all right. Yeah. Prakriti Kriyamana Niguna Karmani Sarvashaha Ahankarai Vibhudatma Kartaham Iti Manyate. Prakriti Kriyamanani. So the material nature, it says, is the doer. Prakriti Kriyamanani is doing everything, it's doing things. Prakriti Kriyamanani, Gunai Karmani, Sarvasha. But under the spell of the material nature, we due to the identification with this body, then we think, Prakriti Kriyamanani, Gunai Karmani, Sarvasha. Ahankara. Ahankara means ahang. I, aham, kara, I'm the doer. So due to ahankar, our false ego, we think we're the doer. We think we're this body, and therefore we think what the body's doing, we're doing. But with a little bit of introspection, we can see we're just observing. I mean, I'm not picking up the body. I may be desiring to pick up the body, but I can't pick the body up. I can't pick my arm up. And lately I can't even pick my legs up. What to speak of the body. So, ahankara vimudatma. So Krishna says, vimuda. What does muda mean? What is vimuda? Super full. Prahlad Maharaj said that people in this world are vimuda. Soche vimukta chetasa indriyartham maya sukhayam baram udva taho vimudan. That the living entities in this material world, they're super fools because they're actually not part of the material nature. They're spiritual by nature, full of consciousness and seeking after happiness and love and bliss. But they're looking for happiness basically in a material world where there is no happiness. So you have to be a fool if you're going to spend practically eternity looking for happiness in a place where it doesn't exist. But we're quite determined. You got to give them credit for determination. It's like they have this Greek mythology. They have this man who's pushing up Sisyphus. He's pushing up a rock out of a hole. As soon as he's just about to get out of the hole, the rock falls back. And he goes back and tries to pick it up again. So you do that eternally, then you must be a fool. Or a very poor memory. So living entity's looking for, he's conscious, he wants a conscious relationship, but he's looking through it for it in the material energy. And therefore, vimudatma, he's being fooled by identifying with this body and thinking that he's the only doer. He's the desirer, the karta, but he's not the only doer. Because even that verse, the material nature has its place. Without a body in the material world, we couldn't do anything. And without senses, adishtanam tata karanam. Karanam means the senses. If we had no senses, it would be very hard to do anything. You may have a very nice body, but if you can't see, if you can't hear, you can't smell, you can't taste, you can't move, then it's very hard to do anything. So that we have a body, but we also need senses. And then there's karta hamiti manyate. Adishtanam tata karta karanam cha pritag. Pritag means the junction between the soul and the false ego, which produces endeavors. It's because of the soul's desiring, therefore Krishna is having the material nature perform activities. So that's called pritag, the junction between when we identify ourselves with the material world and try to desire, when we desire to do things in the material world, therefore that causes endeavor or activity. And then finally, adishtanam tata karta karanam chak pritag vidan vivitas chicha preshta daivam chaivatma panchama. Then there's daiva, Krishna. Now Krishna is actually not doing anything either in the material world. Because why should he get involved in doing everything in the material world? No, he's simply observing, and he has his energies do everything, just by his desire. By his desire, the material nature makes all the arrangements. And so the living entity gets the results of his desires through the material nature, manifesting itself in different forms and species of life and different activities. But it works very logically and intelligently. In other words, if you, whatever there's desires in the modes of nature, and if you desire a certain way, then you'll get a certain reaction. But our desires develop in association with others. In other words, what we're desiring has a lot, we don't independently desire, we desire according to our association. Now, if you were born in the jungle, like Tarzan, and your whole association was monkeys, then if that's how you grew up, you'd act like a monkey. You'd talk like a monkey, you'd smell like a monkey, you'd practically be a monkey. And whatever, whoever we associate with, we develop the same desires that they have, because they'll glorify certain things, and we become interested. Who's ever glorifying something, we become interested in trying to experience it. If every day we had a class on the glories of drinking, what's the name of the company here?
Punyo.
What's that?
Punyo.
It's called Varna. Pure Varna.
Pure Varna.
Then after a while people would think, well, let me just give it a little sip and see what he's talking about. Because we're by nature curious, we want experience. So then we'll try it out to see what's happening. So the material world exists on the basis of glorifying something. The whole world, even the birds, are glorifying something. Beep, beep. Do you know what that means? What's that? Beep, beep.
Where is food?
That's right. And beep, beep, beep. It's over there. So even the birds are glorifying. The whole world is full of glorification. And if we glorify material things in one of the modes of material nature, then we develop that desire. The mind becomes filled with desire, and therefore the senses want to experience it. So nowadays they've developed the expertise, something which is completely insignificant. They put color pictures and happy people, and there's the festival, and you go out and spend millions, you know, so much money to get it, and then it's the same old thing anyhow. Just like they have these iPhones. I mean, what's the difference between one iPhone and the next? One smartphone. They're all equally stupid. I never had a smartphone. They may have a lot of memory, but they're still pretty stupid. There's no consciousness behind the phone. But still people buy them year after year, a new one. Because they're glorified. This year the camera is 1% higher than the last year. And you can't survive without the, you know, you'll be left behind. You'll be back there with the dinosaurs if you don't get the new one. People look at you and go, "My God, your phone is a year old. What's wrong with you?" I don't know if I should even talk to you. And therefore people become, desire, I have to get it. So much so, as I mentioned before, propaganda is so intense that one boy in China some years ago, he was so much interested in getting an iPhone that he sold his kidney and got an iPhone. Luckily, he had enough money left over to buy an iPad also. And he was going to buy a Mac computer with his other kidney, but his mother found out and stopped him. I mean, that's really appreciation for something. Cut your body up to get an iPhone. "Hi, how are you doing?" "Well, I could say my kidney's a little sore, but it's not there anymore. But I'm happy to talk to you on the iPhone." So people are willing to cut up their own body. Rikasura was going to cut up his own body to get a benediction, because he thought, this will make me happy. And what kind of benediction did he get in the mode of ignorance? He got the benediction that whosoever head he touches would crack into thousands of pieces. Would that make you happy? If you got a benediction like that? You go up to Mukunda Prabhu and go, "Mukunda, that's some aspirin. I think you'll have to take a little aspirin soon." But that was his happiness. So that's, you think, well, this will make me happy. If in the mode of ignorance people are acting, I mean in a practical way, because they think it'll make them happy. They used to have, young people used to put earrings through their eyebrows. Do they still do that? Put pearls in their tongue. They still do that? Have you ever done that? That, because they think that will make them beautiful. Especially nowadays, you see these people, even the girls, the women, they have tattoos all over their body. They look like a lizard. And they think that because they think it's going to make them happy. And it's like a competition. How many tattoos? Well, you got a spot there. It's not tattooed. Oh, I'm embarrassed. Don't look at it. I'm embarrassed. And there's like, they just form competition. They feel good. One person even tried to tattoo his eyes. Because they think it'll make them happy, that's all. So similarly, everyone is doing everything on the happiness principle. And even though it doesn't make them happy, if they get the glorification, if they feel like they're in the in crowd, that makes them happy. That we have my family here, and you know, everyone here is tattooed. Their eyebrows are tattooed. Their eyes flutter or they close. They can see the inside of the tattoo. And my whole family, so I'm in the in crowd, and everyone else is kind of weird. But in Krishna consciousness, it can also be there also to desire Krishna, that's all. And if one is desiring Krishna, then there are certain things here that is saying, then one is not attached to the results of his work. Because he understands that there's the material nature works in such a way that as soon as we become attached to the work, to the results of the work, then we have to identify ourselves with the body. Because you can't possess something unless you have a body. The soul can't possess anything in this world, only the thinking that the body possesses something. So we want to get some result, then we have to identify with this body to get it. So we think we've gained something. Actually, we haven't gained anything because we're not even the body. And even what we think is the body is just different energies manifesting itself. And then we think that this other thing, this energy, belongs to me. So it's just a conception. But the same conception could be there, and it all belongs to Krishna. And therefore, whatever I'm doing to please Krishna, and that's spiritual. The idea of trying to please Krishna is spiritual. And of course, we can try to please Krishna either with a gross energy by offering something to Krishna that we normally would think is ours, or even the subtle energy. We can actually use our minds to think about offering something to Krishna, like the Brahmin in the pastime where he didn't have enough money. So he heard from one sangha, where the Brahmin was saying that you can offer things to Krishna within your mind, and it's as good as doing it physically. So he would sit and meditate. He would sit down by the Ganges regularly, and he'd do pranayama to pacify the mind, and then he'd go to all the rivers, Saraswati, Narmada, Jamuna, Ganges, and he collect water. And then he bathed his deities, his mental deities, with the water. He dressed them. He put very nice clothing on them, and he would even cook mentally for them. And he did this for many, many days, many, many years. And one day he was cooking sweet rice. And the sweet rice was still hot. Generally, sweet rice is not so delicious, tasty if it's hot. So therefore, he wanted to find out if it was hot or not. So he put his finger mentally in the sweet rice pot to see if it was cool enough to offer to the mental deities he had. And when he put his finger in, it burnt. And he came out of his meditation, and he saw that his finger was actually burnt. So he was surprised that it was just a meditation, and still his finger that he had was burnt. So in the heavenly, in the spiritual world in Vaikuntha, Lord Narayan was laughing, and all the Lakshmis were wondering, why is Lord Narayan laughing? So then Lord Narayan called for the Vaikuntha airplane, picked up the Brahmin, and brought him to Vaikuntha. So the idea is that things offered even mentally to Krishna are accepted by him. As a matter of fact, our attempts to do things externally ultimately have to come to the platform of thinking about Krishna internally. Now, thinking about Krishna in any case, devotionally, then Krishna appears in that form. We may think it's just imagination, but that's the proper use of imagination. Because nothing happens without Krishna. So if Krishna appears within our mind in a devotional, because of devotion, then that's Krishna is there. It may not be a perfect form of Krishna, but it's an expansion of Krishna. One day the artists came to Prabhupada and they were showing Prabhupada different pictures of Krishna that they had painted of the pastime, of Krishna's pastimes for Srila Prabhupada's books. And at the end, one of the devotees asked Prabhupada, which picture looks the most like Krishna? And Prabhupada said, they all look like Krishna. So the next day, the devotee brought in pictures drawn by the Gurukul students. You know, you have a head, a body, you have two legs and two arms. And you draw the stick across. And a peacock feather. You've seen art like that? And so the devotee asked Prabhupada, does this look like, is this Krishna? And Prabhupada said, yes. See, there's the flute. There's the peacock feather. That's Krishna. So Krishna will appear in any form if there's devotion behind it. Krishna can appear anywhere and reciprocate the devotional feelings with his devotees. So that's Krishna. And if we try to limit Krishna, then that's not Krishna anymore. Just like Radha Raman. So Gopal Bhatt, he wanted a deity because all his other Goswamis, they had deities. But he only had a Shalagram Shila. So the Shalagram Shila understood that Gopal Bhatt Goswami, he wants the deity. So the Shalagram Shila turned overnight into Radha Raman. Radha Raman deity. From a Shalagram Shila. Because of the desire of his devotee. And if you go there, have you ever seen Radha Raman? What's that? And if you look at Radha Raman, he even has teeth. He has teeth, he has fingernails. And he was a Shalagram Shila. How many Shalagram Shilas do you see who have teeth and fingernails? Eyebrows. So by the desire of the devotee, Krishna can do anything, can appear anywhere, in any form. But he has his original form in Goloka Vrindavan also. It's not that. He has the original form of Krishna, who's all the other forms expand from. But he expands in relation with his devotees, and he'll do that if the devotees want him to be there. But if we want to be the controller, we want to be the enjoyer of this world, then Krishna disappears. And he allows us to work in the modes of material nature, to try to enjoy here, and try to imagine we're controlling. But he won't be there for us, that's all. The material nature, that's what we have to reciprocate with. And if we want him to be there, then we have to give up the idea that this is our energy. We have to think it's Krishna's energy and then utilize it for his service, and then he'll be there for us. That attitude of service is what inspires Krishna to appear. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions or comments?
Yeah. The deity
Radha. Oh, yeah, right there.
The deity Radha has there was a picture of him. There was a picture of him many times, like they post pictures on social media and stuff. And one of the pictures, they took him like from very near. And in one picture, as he has teeth, you can see the teeth, and he's smiling. But then there was another picture, he is smiling, but you don't see the teeth. And this is so many times I saw this, you know. So I was just wondering, sometimes he's showing his teeth, and other times.
Yeah. Well, he's a person. If you crack a joke, he'll show his teeth. Anything else?
Oh, sure. I wanted to ask something. But just like we had this class yesterday, where we were speaking about milk, that cow, you know, she gives milk out of love to her cow. So you know. Like some people are vegans and they have this argument that we don't drink the milk from the industry cows because of the consciousness, because the milk she's giving, the way they're taking out the milk from her, she's not giving naturally, but you know, from artificial ways they are taking out the milk. So I was just wondering like how we can, you know, communicate or with this kind of conversation, if somebody puts forward that, oh, we don't drink the milk because these cows are not giving milk out of love. But then, at the same time, as I understand, when Srila Prabhupada was also there, although he recommended us to have farms so that the cows are protected and we get the milk out of love from the protected cows. But then, you know, but it's not possible for everyone, for all the devotees to have that. So when the devotees are buying milk from the shops outside, but then it is recommended to offer it to Krishna, and also the cow is benefited. So then how... I'm just trying to understand that how then we can, you know,
it's Kali Yuga. Conversation? We don't have conversations. People don't want to listen to us. It's useless. We shouldn't think we're so powerful we can convince people who don't want to be convinced. No, we're selective. What we say and who we say it to. Otherwise we'll be preaching to the unfaithful. We don't want to disturb their minds and we don't want them to disturb our minds. Better to talk about Krishna rather than talk about veganism or milk, right? Because if we become Krishna, the aim is to become Krishna conscious, and offering milk to Krishna is simply a means to help us become Krishna conscious. But these other things, if it creates a disturbance in our mind and minds of others, it's not very helpful. Anything else?
Yes, Maharaj.
Yes.
You mentioned the stupid machines, but now they are getting quite smart recently. Yeah?
Material.
They are getting quite smart recently.
Is that right?
With artificial intelligence. So. My question is, because it seems that these machines imitate some aspects of intelligence quite well, so does this challenge the concept of intelligence as an element, which is Vedic, or how do we respond?
I don't know, what do you mean? The machines only do whatever they're programmed to do. They don't program themselves.
They do program themselves.
No, they don't program themselves. They're programmed by people to discern what's correct and what's incorrect. It has to be programmed by someone. in order to so-called program themselves.
They are imitating our brains. So
no, we have no brain.
Krishna's.
They're not imitating anything. They're being programmed. People who are programming them. So it's not the machines that program, it's the people that program.
Yeah, but this imitation of brains are producing these intelligent results.
No, anyhow, they're just so intelligent people try and figure out how the brain works, and they're programming it into the program.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
So it's the people who are running the machines, it's not the machine. Yeah. It's just imagination that the machines are becoming intelligent.
No, but it's quite amazing what these machines do. That's
what do they do? What can they do?
I mean, check it out, and probably you've seen this thing.
They can't. They do whatever they're programmed to do, which is not they can't. They can't even eat, sleep, mate, and defend, which is not. All they can do is something like they're just made out of the same thing that a car is made out of. Metal and steel and wood, whatever. I told her. And they're just moving around, so we're impressed. Because we're not very intelligent. Because we're not very intelligent, we're impressed by these things. Yes?
So I heard nice statement that these smartphones are more and more clever, but people using it are more and more.
Yeah, they're more and more foolish. These phones have gained a lot of memory, and the people have lost their memory. So, is the phone going to go back to the spiritual world by chanting Hare Krishna? What can it do? What is it? It can't do anything. It doesn't make any spiritual progress. After some time, it's going to be in the dustbin. They're just by these movies, they've convinced people that is actually some kind of progress, but it's actually degradation, because the people are becoming degraded. So it's actually, we're going to hell in the name of progress. But it's the people who can go, it's the people who get the karma, not the machines. Okay, thank you. Khwala, Granta Rashimad Bhagavatam Kijai.